What do you do in the morning? Well, you get together and talk nonsense. Yes. What are we here for? Absolutely nothing. Yes. Good morning. It's Wednesday, and this is The Real Network, The Gareth Cliff Show. It is 2 minutes after 6 a.m. Bright and early. Brr.
Mm.
How are you doing, Jack McLante?
I am up and at him. I'm good. How are you?
I see you're still sagaing in your hat there. I like
it. All day, every day.
This is a
movement that's
very good.
A lot of people have an emotional reaction to. Well, guess what? We're still in it.
And many people have hopped on board and bought some of those there Msaga hats. You can find them. Just follow The Real Network. And if you're not already on our website, you can find it all there and you can get yourself one of those just to piss off the people who are uptight.
Mm.
And you, oh my God, is that like a Donald Trump hat? You'd be like, no, can you read?
Yeah.
In any case, the kind of people who'd be upset about that are exactly the people you want to upset.
Yes, sir. Yes,
because
sir.
They are losers, in the words of Donald Trump. They're a bunch of real losers. Losers, the worst kind. I don't like losers. I don't have a lot of time for losers. The only thing I lose is trials. The only thing I lose is court convictions.
That's it.
Otherwise, I'm good. Listen, have you noticed how quiet he is in this election campaign? Like, this is so interesting. And we're not going to start with American politics. Ah, what the hell, we might.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely different to the previous election. I mean, he was out there campaigning every day. He was on the news every day. He was all over. Like, he's quiet as a mouse this time. All you hear is stuff about Joe and Hunter and...
I think Donald Trump is showing just how brilliant of a politician he is. Because the truth, let's be honest. If you were running against Joe Biden, you wouldn't need to do that much campaigning. All you need to do is watch the man. He might just fall over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, though. I am pleasantly surprised that politicians all over the place are behaving in a rather mature way.
Even here?
Even here.
Even here.
Even here.
All right. Well, that is true. Except all the butthurt people on X, Twitter. There's some angry people on there. I have never seen such an outpouring of like desperate, like, love me, hug me, daddy.
Mm.
Me. Please don't forget about me. Pay attention to me, please. From people, even people I know. I'm like, what is going on with you? Why are you being so needy and pathetic? Was it just because of Father's Day?
Oh, my goodness. So
it was mean of me, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
We know Father's Day is the quietest day on social media in South Africa, right? And for all the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. So I actually made a decision. You brought up X not too long ago. I made a decision yesterday.
Yes.
I'm not reading the comment section anymore.
I never have.
I've officially made the decision. It's no longer happening.
I put up posts and then I just leave it.
Yeah, leave it
alone.
And
I have nothing. Whatever happens beyond then is none of my business.
Leave it alone. Because
it's amazing.
Do you know what? I actually thought I could learn something from some of these people. Like maybe one of them might just bring up a point that make you go,
yes.
I think I should reconsider things. But they've actually made me a avid non-comment reader now. Like, it's not happening.
Well, put it this way. You're not going to learn anything from the kind of people who are learning from you.
Mm.
Right? I mean, that seems like an obvious, logical, open-close. There's no like mystery there. You have to sit and ponder on this for ages. If people are following you and they're finding something that you've said interesting enough to comment on it, chances are it's highly unlikely you're going to learn anything from said comment. Otherwise, they would have made the comment before you posted anything.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you post something about this? Or, hey, I got something to say about this. What do you think about it? No.
You see, I'm one of those. I was one of those benefit of the doubt people. But it's gone. It's like, so yesterday, I saw this post about Ronaldo Gous and Gayton McKenzie.
Oh, everybody's lost their shit about Ronaldo Gous. And by the way, I saw the video. I'm wondering if I've seen all of it, because the way people are responding, you'd think that he like viciously attacked someone's mom in the street.
Yeah.
He'd be like, he's the most racist guy in the world if you watch Twitter. But then when you watch the video, you're like,
okay, so this guy's just pissed off.
So he was angry about something which is technically true, that the only people who are in law discriminated against in the country right now are like white men.
Mm.
You don't get anything for nothing if you're a white guy. And I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm a white man, because that's not my game. Mm. And I don't believe in moaning and whining. But everything he said in that video, and there was a lot of profanity, and there was a lot of fuck this and fuck that. But he was like, 19 or whatever?
He was 25 or something like that.
I would like to have heard anybody who's complaining about him and what they sounded like at that age. And if they were recorded or recorded themselves and they were as angry and as passionate about something that they didn't drop in a couple of F-bombs. But I'm still trying to find the racism.
That's also what I was looking for.
Like, where's the racism?
When I saw the clips and all of this stuff. And I haven't seen anything or heard anything that was overtly racist. It just sounded like a young white guy. Who was just pissed off.
Right.
And used the appropriate language to express how pissed off he was.
And let's just remember this, that if he hadn't become a member of parliament over the course of last week, no one would care how angry he was, and there wouldn't be any allegations of racism and blah, 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 blah. So it's just nonsense. And then I saw Gayton saying, maybe this is what you're referring to, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Gayton McKenzie saying, look, don't like what he said, but you shouldn't cancel people.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yes, that is what he said.
So I'm on Gayton's side as well.
Which is why I was saying earlier on, these politicians this year are very mature. They are very mature.
I really hope, I've said it from the beginning, I hope they include him in the cabinet.
Yeah.
I think he's got a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of a tough guy. He's been through a lot. I like him. He's got a sense of humor. He's got a lot of energy. He managed to score those seats out of nowhere. You know, he's done, after MK, he did the best.
Mm-hmm.
So don't punish the guy. Put him in there. Make him useful.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got lots to do today. And we're going to be talking to Roman Kabanak. He's just got back from Russia just before the election results were announced. And he's all over social media making a big noise and pissing people off as well. It's always good to see him.
Love it.
And he's kind of uncancelable in some ways too. So we're going to talk to him about his trip to Russia, because I think people find Russia fascinating. It feels like it's a different universe.
Yeah.
And there's so much that I haven't got to speak to him about. So I thought, well, let's talk to him on the show. That's the way to do it. I woke up this morning. Everything smelled like there was fire everywhere. Hmm. I initially thought, wow, is there a fire in my house? It was that strong in my nostrils. I was like, this place smells like someone made a fire in my house. Anyway, walked around, there wasn't. It turns out it's just the air from all the felt fires that we're having.
Okay.
And I know the presidential inaugurations today, they've been flying planes over me nonstop. And they're going to be wasting a whole lot of money to inaugurate the president. I did see that very, very important people are coming to South Africa, like the presidents of Cuba, Burundi, and Angola.
Okay. To do what?
Very important.
To do what exactly?
I don't know, but those are not important countries.
No.
Like, no one in the world goes, whoa, wait, let's hear what Cuba, Burundi, and Angola have to say before we make this decision.
Yeah, no one says that.
Said no one ever.
Ever.
Yeah, so if those are the only people we've attracted from the international community, bit of a waste of time. Anyway, they're going to be doing this thing. And there are going to be a lot of butthurt people there too, because they're going to like, we're not in the government of national unity. I saw MK had a press conference the other night.
Oh, yes.
Went on and on. First of all, it was 2 hours late or 4 hours late or whatever. They're always late. MK cannot organize a piss up in a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Always late. And then when they started, I thought, cool, I'll watch a little bit. Well, 2 hours in, I was like, I had stopped paying attention. I was doing stuff on my laptop.
It took you 2 hours?
No. About 15 minutes in, I was busy on my laptop replying to emails, being super productive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd forgotten this press conference was even going on.
Mm.
And apart from like moan, poor us, we should have done better. I'm like, guys, you did very well. What's wrong with you?
It's like,
they don't know how to win.
See, and I'm going to make a comparison.
They're professional losers. They don't know how to be winners.
Yeah.
Some people are incapable. Victory comes and absorbs and carries them, and they still can't go, I think I won. This is great.
Do you know what?
They like being losers. They want to be losers.
A very weird, but I believe apt comparison right now. MK to me are starting to feel like the LGBTQIA plus. What letter did I forget?
Say that again. Who?
The LGBT.
No, no. Who's like? Who's becoming
MK?
Like, MK. Yeah.
Because
well, there are two letters, so you might as well join the rest of the alphabet.
Seriously, because like any person that gambles will tell you, if you're up at the casino, leave.
Yes, correct.
Leave. Take your W and go home. Okay. Let's get this shit on already. Like, let's get the show on the road. Let's go. Let's move. Because at this point, you're going to piss people off to the point whereby we're going to genuinely question whether or not the people that voted for you actually did.
So I didn't know this. I think that's a good point, by the way. I didn't know this, but the last time that Cyril took his oath of office, was at Loftus in Pretoria?
Was it?
Yeah. So apparently this will be the first time the inauguration's back at the Union Buildings in 10 years.
Why has it been in a traveling show? I don't get it.
I don't know. I think they were maybe busy building their... They do have that problem, don't they, with the squatters?
At the Union Buildings.
Yes, they've got those people who are living in tents in the gardens of the Union Buildings.
Leo and...
And they've planted, planted vegetables and they've got blankets and they make fires. Maybe that's why it smelled funny around my house this morning.
I lived... two blocks away from the Union Buildings a few years ago.
Yeah.
Across the street, interestingly enough, from the National Energy Regulator's office.
Oh, nice.
So no load shedding in Arcadia. But whenever I would walk past the Union Buildings, the first thing you are hit by is the smell of human shit.
Really? At our president's office? Yeah. Man, if I were president, the first thing I'd do is get a bulldozer and just push those people down the hill with their tents and their shit and their vegetables and everything. And I'd plant some beautiful gardens and I'd put big fence around it and say, you're not allowed back in. Homeless people out. This is the president's office. We can't have this.
Well, I think we can place the blame directly at the president's office. That's why they're a bunch of homeless people.
But these guys have been there for like 10 years. Haven't they got like title deeds by now?
They should speak to the Minister of Land Reform.
So I wonder if they're going to move those people for the inauguration or not. Probably not. They probably just sit there.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
What a mess. What a mess.
It is
all right.
A mess.
Couple of things. I don't know what's on your mind this morning, Jack, but let's just hear, first of all, Helen Ziller's haircut. Let's just have a look at that quickly. I'm struggling to find a period in human history where this haircut... Got a little screenshot from her the other day where this haircut was en vogue when it was in style.
Mm.
And the only time I can think of is during the Kingdom of Lotharingia in the 800s AD. Okay. It's the last time that hairstyle was, and it was mostly for men at that time that this hairstyle was trendy.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's looking to. And I know people beat up on Helen, but, you know, she's a stalwart and she really cares about this country. Otherwise, she would just be retired and she'd just be sitting at home sipping tea.
Yeah.
But there she is with that hairstyle. I wanted to know if anybody else knows the Lotharingian men's haircut from the 800s AD.
Hey, listen, I didn't know it before, but I definitely know it now. There's no way I'm forgetting it.
No. Mm. And then, of course, it was Father's Day of the weekend and a special happy Father's Day to these fathers, these three here in particular.
Here we go again.
Big Mike. And there's Caitlin, and there's that admiral who's also the like the health. Who knows? Anyway, those three. Happy Father's Day, guys.
I take exception to Michelle Obama being up there. Genuinely, like she's as long as you've got pictures of yourself as a little girl, a young woman.
Are there?
Yes, they are. There's gang pictures. Okay. Everyone else.
So you say Brigitte Macron maybe should replace.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right. Very good.
Because, I mean, like Gareth, that story.
Okay.
That story. And Candace Owens is back and she's unpacking it one more time. I love it. I love it. Oh, man. Just show a picture of yourself as a child. That's it.
Right.
That's all we want to see.
Carl says Helen's a car crash. Shame. She's a formidable woman. You owe her a huge debt, but she's almost 80. And that hair.
Oh.
all right. Well,
can senior citizens just retire? Like, what's wrong with being like, part of an advisory board or oversight committee guys, type thing? Come on.
I know, you know, again, we need wise elders. Every community does.
Yes.
But I can't help thinking there is a point where you just should just retire, enjoy your retired life. This is where it's great to be a grandma or a grandpa. I mean, I'm pointing at you, Joe Biden, Jacob Zuma, Helen Ziller.
Cyril, you know, included.
Cyril, how old is he?
He's in his 70s. That's all I know.
Look, you could still do this. I would say 80, really. You've got to cut it off somewhere. 80 years old, it's time to just enjoy your life. You know? Ugh. Anyway, this is another thing. So I did make a fire, and I noticed something interesting over the weekend. And this is not the fire that I woke up with the smell in my nostrils this morning. But I made a fire, and I noticed this beautiful blue flame in the fire. And anyone who knows anything about me knows I'm massively into chemistry, so I had to figure out what it was that was this blue flame. Just take a look at you see that bright electric blue in the middle there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
Now that is caused by copper, either copper the metal or copper salts in that fire. I just love that electric blue color. In fireworks, the only metallic salt that they can use in fireworks to create that color blue is copper.
Wow.
So a pretty awesome color. I mean, you don't see that often in a fire. So, you know, everybody's used to the yellow flames, the red flames. Yeah, there's a little bit of white sometimes. But that blue is magnificent. I mean, don't tell me it isn't. And it's so bright, it's like electric. You know?
Yeah.
Nice color. So I thought I'd share that with you. This is what I do. I sit there and I'm enjoying my fire, and I think, you know, I need to share this with my audience. I need people to feel the happiness I feel at this magnificent color.
Yeah, it's worthy of a Wednesday morning. I like it. I like it. It looks dope.
All right. So this is a thing that is happening. I feel like this is going to irritate you. I feel like this is something that's going to annoy, but then a lot annoys Jack lately. He gets very easily irritated by stuff that he sees on the internet.
Something happened when I turned a year older. I don't know what it is, but like, I've got very little patience for bullshit.
So here's a situation. Apparently this is in South America. It could be in Brazil. I'm not entirely sure. But a woman and her daughter are in the street, and this homeless drug addict woman like walks up and like slaps the child out of nowhere. And you will see what ensues. But I think it's easy to tell who the villain is in this story.
Yeah.
You would think, right? Like, this is not a complicated scenario. And maybe when you see it, you'll have different thoughts. But comment section, let's see what you think of this particular incident. This is happening in the streets of Brazil. I think it's Brazil. Check there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
God damn. Jesus.
Oh, I love it. Isn't that fantastic?
It's so, the commentary for me.
See, I love the commentary. A guy called Steve Inman, credit to him. So, all right, none of us on this show are particularly fond of violence against women. And we live in a country where this is a major problem. But honestly, I don't know that is... I think you lose your womanhood when you like walk up to someone random in the street
randomly, and
smash their child in the face. If someone did that to me, I would be just as violent as that guy was. And he's an innocent bystander. He's like a good Samaritan.
In that situation, yes, he is.
And I love him. I hope they give him an award.
Like, that man was throwing combinations with his legs. That's great. Crazy.
And this drug addict is just like, she's like a spider on the ground. She's like... She doesn't really know what's going on. She kind of gets up, then she doesn't, then she falls down again.
Yeah. That's just next fun. Time, that keep is your a, hands to yourself.
That is a contact sport I could watch.
Yeah. And it reminds me of a joke that Kevin Hart said a couple of years ago. Like, that woman was trying to give that little girl a bum bump. You know when a bum touches your lip and you pop and you get a bump? She was trying to give that little baby girl a bum bump. And then she got a real bump on her forehead.
Yeah, I love that.
That was great.
Made me very happy.
That was good. I thought you said that was going to piss me off. It actually put a smile on my face.
Well, there we go. Yeah, I try to please everybody. All right, so here's a good one. This is a situation, and you know that these protesters we've spoken about who block the roads in countries other than South Africa. I saw you actually you posted something about this last night.
Oh.
So in countries like the UK and in the US, these environmental protesters or they're people who don't like oil or they're people who... They don't like certain things that are going on in politics. They block a road. Man. They get in the way of other people getting to work, doing their thing. Not so fast, because this policeman treats them how they should be treated. Again, I never thought in 2024 I would be on the side of police violently removing protesters. I'm all for freedom of speech, but you don't make a nuisance of yourself to everyone else in society.
Yeah.
You could protest on the side of the road. You can have placards. You can get people to gather on a bridge over a highway with banners and all that sort of thing.
Mm?
That's cool. But you block the road. Now suddenly I'm on the police's side. Watch what this guy does. Straight into it. Smash.
Goodbye.
Check the chick with a hat and the clipboard.
Did anyone get that?
Watch this. I like this. Listen to them scream suddenly there.
Yeah, on the crowd. Come on.
We're non-violent. We're non-violent.
I love it. Again, you know, you've got this... this group of teenagers or people in their 20s who think they can hold up traffic and there'll be no consequences. And then this policeman drives right through their barrier, which is absolutely appropriate. I hope he didn't damage his car too much.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of the car with his gun and he puts these people on the ground and he arrests them. And they're going, "We're nonviolent." They roll over like hamsters and they're like, "We're nonviolent. We're nonviolent." Sorry, it's too late for that now. Here's how violence feels. A little cup of violence to wake you up this morning.
Yeah, no. They had it coming. Definitely had it coming.
You like that?
I love watching those kind of things. Because it's...
I can see how happy you are.
It's like these people don't have anything to live for. They've got no purpose whatsoever. They can't find something genuine to get behind. And they just decide to piss the rest of us off. Mm. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
There are some sane people still walking this planet, and you'll catch an ass whooping if you deserve one. I think it's great.
I like it. Somebody got me really worried. It's someone who listens to the show, and they sent me this clip of the jab that they're working on for cancer. And then they superimposed like a scene from I Am Legend. And it suddenly got me super concerned. And I suddenly thought, I don't like the way this is feeling. It was a very uncomfortable thing. It arrived at 9 o'clock last night, just as I was like settling in for the evening. I was ready to have a nice quiet night and make a cup of tea, go to bed, that kind of shit. And then I saw this and I was like, oh no.
So you have actually cured cancer.
I mean, the
parallels are
the
freaky.
Scariest part of that is like the two scientists, the real life one and the one in the I Am Legend movie, are both wearing the same black top with white polka dots on it. Same facial expressions and everything else. It just scared the hell out of me. I was like, no, I don't want to see this. This is not what I came here for. Sure. I don't like it.
But, you know, I think I could live in a world like that with far less annoying human beings.
Yeah, but the ones who eat you, who live underground, who are tearing each other apart? No.
Hey,
no,
man,
no.
I could do with a bit of excitement in my life. That looks fun. It looks a lot of fun.
All right,
plus, so I'm a big fan of German Shepherds, so I'll get myself one of those. Do it Will Smith style, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Smack Chris Rock for good measure. Who knows? It would be fun.
I'm not so sure that's the future I want. Would you do anything fun over the long weekend?
Not at all, actually. Well, on Friday and Saturday, I went to the Podcast and Music Festival, which was pretty good.
Very good, yeah.
Sunday, did a bit of self-care. Got into the vibe of gym. You don't know
nice.
what self-care
no,
is?
No, but I mean, what does it mean to you?
Oh, because what it means to me is essentially sitting down, writing as much as I possibly can, going through all of my mental rubbish, and as well taking care of the exterior. So shaved, did my skincare regimen and all of that good stuff. I was in my soft boy era. The only thing missing was for me to get a manicure. Outside of that, it was a pretty good long weekend. I also got to spend a bit of time with someone. Let me leave that one alone, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was just getting exciting.
Yeah. Just
when you decided to stop telling us, that's when it got exciting.
Yeah, no, it's between me, her, and the walls in my room. That's it.
Well, there are a lot of comments here about people who say we're non-violent, but they're invading other people's rights. Pumlani, you're absolutely right. We're non-violent, yet they won't let an ambulance or a fire truck pass when they block the road. This is a thing that's happened in the UK a couple of times where Just Stop Oil have had people block the road. And then there have been actually real-life cases of people who have died because the ambulance couldn't get to them, or there was someone in an ambulance that couldn't get to the hospital and they died en route because of this.
It's,
I mean,
those people
should be had up for murder. That's
they
all.
Should. They should.
You know, consequence is all we're asking for. So, yes, absolutely. If you are the sort of person who takes your protest so seriously that you are prepared to put yourself in the way of danger and maybe there'll be violence, then, okay, good. Then we know you really care about that issue, but there are consequences.
Yes.
So you'll be had up for murder. You'll be head up for blocking the road, for interrupting and inconveniencing other people in traffic. You know, that kind of stuff will happen. And then it'll be your problem.
As it should be.
Correct.
And, you know, yesterday I saw a clip on X where one of the great civilians in that country decided to do the right thing and drag these people off the road.
Yeah, again, love it.
Like, pick them up and throw them off to the side of the road. We have shit to do. We've actually got real... when I posted that thing, I wrote there that thank God South Africa has real problems to deal with. We wouldn't have to listen to idiots talking about Stop Oil. What is hilarious to me is that almost every single item of clothing those people are wearing while they're protesting was brought to them as a result of oil.
Yeah, not only that, but it's amazing to me that these people live, like, they're all eating avocado salads and... You know, they live these middle-class lives. These protesters are never, they're never poor working-class people who are genuinely, I'm talking about in America or the UK now.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are, their parents have paid for everything.
Yeah.
They took time out of their Frizzuccino Mocha Latte Red Cappuccino life, where they're sauntering around buying designer goods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, suddenly I need to have a conscience. I think I'm going to take up this issue that I really care about. And then, you know, they do that for the afternoon, but they're sacrificing so much.
The problem is this. People just don't seem to understand the fact that ease is more of a threat to progress than hardship. So if you're going to raise your kid in a, you know, surrounded by cotton wool and they're these soft little things, they're going to grow up and be those kind of idiots that get arrested for protesting for stop oil. Like, what are we doing?
It's great. It's very important.
What the hell are we doing?
And of course, everybody, I mean, especially the seabirds are really hoping for these people. They're waiting with bated breath for these people. My favorite are the ones who glue themselves to the road. I mean, if you're going to glue yourself to the road, I'm actually a fan of that. Because I want to see what happens when you can't get unglued.
Yeah.
I don't think people should help them.
We should
just drive around them and just carry on.
Keep
it moving.
I don't
think it's a problem.
Yeah, and every now and again, throw a banana peel at one of them.
Yeah,
just for fun.
Make it really unpleasant.
Just for
anyway,
fun.
Anyway, so here we go. Bitcoin Butt says they do glue their hands to the road and then they waste resources to remove them from the road.
We don't need to remove them at all. Leave them there. They can be like a permanent display of idiocy.
Right there
in the middle of the road, every day when you get to work, you can see. This is what happens when you're stupid and you don't have a purpose in life.
I remember this is flashbacks to my childhood. I had a couple of friends over at my house my parents' house. And we opened a 5-liter thing of glue, right? And we were like trying to stick stuff. And then eventually we got stuck.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when, you know, you're 6 or 7 years old and you're playing with like a big tub of glue. I don't know how we found it or anything else. My mother walked in very calmly and said, "All right, that's fine. You're going to be my statue in the lounge from now on."
Yeah.
That's all. You're staying right here.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped me from messing around with things in tins that I didn't understand.
That's why.
Clearly, these kids never learned that lesson.
There you go. That's why you are an adult with
somewhat
of a good head on your shoulders. You were raised by parents that understood that you do not bow to every single whim that your child has. It's that simple.
All right. Well, here's a story that I think you're going to like. McDonald's is removing AI-powered technology from its drive-thru restaurants in the U.S. after customers shared their comical mishaps online. Apparently, they tried out this system, and it was developed by IBM. It uses voice recognition to process orders. It was announced in 2019. So the technology has been controversial from the start. They've tried it, even though it's been controversial. Initially, concerns centered on the potential to make people's jobs obsolete. However, it has become apparent that replacing human restaurant workers may not be as straightforward as people initially feared. Why? Because the AI order takers' mishaps have been documented online. So what kind of mishaps are we talking about? Well, in one video, which has 30,000 views on TikTok, a young woman became increasingly exasperated as she attempted to convince the AI that she wanted a caramel ice cream, only for it to add multiple stacks of butter to her order. So all she wanted was caramel in her ice cream, and this thing kept adding butter. In another one, which has 360,000 views, there's a person who claims that her order got confused with one being made by someone else, resulting in 9 orders of tea being added to her bill.
Wow.
Another popular video includes 2 people laughing while hundreds of dollars worth of chicken nuggets are added to their order, while New York Post reported another person had bacon added to their ice cream.
Bacon and ice cream?
Yep. I mean, this is America, so maybe that's a flavor they'd like.
Yeah.
But yes, bacon was added to the ice cream. So AI, there's still a lot that we have to work out.
There is quite a bit. And look, I'm not nearly afraid of AI as much as some people might be.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, just work out the kinks. Get it to a point where it can actually
work.
There's
a lot of kinks.
It's got a lot of kinks.
You're ordering ice cream and they add bacon.
Hmm.
That's not the kind of kink you'd expect. Imagine you get the ice cream as bacon.
But listen, I'm sure there's a lot of overweight people who heard that and were like, "Oh, we need to get to McDonald's."
And as I said, it's America. It's not entirely impossible to assume that could be happening.
Someone might have heard that and thought, that's actually not a mistake.
Well,
I mean,
someone in the comments says, bacon and ice cream sounds good. I don't like that.
You are very weird.
Mapelo says in the comments, the House of the Dragon is back. Yeah. For fans of Game of Thrones, the new season of House of the Dragon, the first episode was apparently yesterday. debuted?
Yeah, I don't.
You haven't watched it?
I haven't watched it.
You're not interested.
I loved Game of Thrones up until season four. After that, it just went to shit.
What got you tuned out?
Like, I mean, the first four seasons of Game of Thrones, like the dialogue was unbelievable. That actually show you how they travel from one place to another.
Where did now, they lose you?
Like by season five, they were just doing a lot of unnecessary stuff. Like even the dialogue just died. It went from, you know, almost Shakespearean language to what you'd hear at Rosebank on a Saturday night. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's not entertaining to
it's
you.
It's not entertaining. Like, just keep the same energy. What the hell are we doing here? Like, what? All you right. know what I mean? So, as a result, the spin-offs and what I was like, ah, I might as well not pay attention to that. It was great in the first four seasons. Anyone that disagrees with me hasn't watched it properly, clearly.
You will fight them.
I will fight you. Seriously.
Okay, but I still don't. I'm not entirely sure of where you fell off the wagon. I watched it all the way to the end of the original.
So I did.
Game of Thrones. I also liked this first season. I didn't like, oh, I'm a massive fan, and if I miss an episode, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those fans, but I like it. So, okay, I'll watch it. I'll report back on the show on Friday.
All right, cool.
It's the best I can do. All right. A couple of people making comments about AI and how it's not going to be perfect. Imagine AI in a drive-thru in South Africa.
Ooh, they'd have to figure out which language the person's speaking.
Yeah, I mean,
first.
We've got 11 official languages and about 700 different accents.
Yep.
I mean, you just have
and
to
then
turn
we've got
on
dialects as well.
Mm. I don't understand politicians. They had a guy on this weekend, which I really enjoyed. He's a political analyst, but it seems like they're growing these people under bushes at the moment because this guy was wearing a T-shirt. You could tell we were in his kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
He was online. And when he was asked a question, he would go for about a minute and a half before he even gave you any insight. And then when he did give you the insight, it wasn't really insightful.
Okay.
It was like, oh, I think I could have asked someone on the street and they would have given me a better insight. And you call yourself a political analyst. Hmm. Anyway, he was saying stuff that was obvious, obvious, obvious. And you've got to ask, like, where do these channels, who the producers, where do they find these people? They just go, you know what? I'm going to call my uncle.
Yeah.
He seems, he could put something together.
Mm.
You watch some of these TV shows and you think, this is definitely made up on
this spot. It's one of those, like, I was at a bride this Saturday and this one guy just said something that really blew my mind. He said, like, one sentence that was, you know, on point, and therefore this guy is an official political analyst.
Oh,
I think
right.
That's
so
what
he can apply for that job too?
Yeah, he can.
I mean, it's never been easier to get onto TV is the point, right?
Yeah.
Like there used to be a time, and I don't want to sound like one of these people who, oh, well, back in the day. But honestly, there used to be a time where in order to give your opinion on television, you actually had to have knowledge and you have to have some point of view that nobody else had.
Yep.
And maybe you have to leave the audience going, wow, that was something I hadn't thought of. And that's really helped me understand the situation a whole lot better. You watch most of these guys on now, and I'm not just talking about political analysts. I'm talking about everybody, including, in inverted commas, experts.
Yeah.
They come on, and afterwards, you're like, I'm even more confused.
Or you think to yourself, why did I need him to tell me that? Because I figured that out myself, actually.
Yeah,
I don't
telling
need
you basic stuff.
Very, very basic
like, you
stuff.
You know, in winter, it's cold.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
This guy really needs the order of Mapungubwe for that.
Yo. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I learned this in geography when I was 10 years old. Like, I don't need you telling me this. And I think the barrier of entry is significantly lower now than it was back in the day. You said you didn't want to say it. I'll say it. Back in the day,
right.
You actually needed to work in order to be taken seriously. Now, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can jump on their phone and turn into analysis.
Well, talking about back in the day, I mean, every South African knows the name Telljoy.
Mm.
Telljoy is a brand that has been around in South Africa for years, and they are doing some very interesting things. I actually thought it would be worthwhile talking to the guy who's at the head of it, and that is Jonathan Hurwitz. We're going to get him in a second. He is the CEO at Telljoy, and he's going to tell us about some things that they're doing. And I love this because we live in a country of innovators.
Yeah.
And people are hard-pressed at the moment. They need stuff. They need to get things done. They need to have connection to the internet, to information, to TV, to all that kind of stuff. And yet, for many people, it's become an issue of like, got to have the money. So I think it's probably a good idea to also catch up a little bit on the history of this really, really important brand in South Africa. So Jonathan Hurwitz has been at the Teljoy Group since 2014 in various roles. He's been the CEO since the end of 2019, and he's a qualified CA by profession. He's also worked in commerce as the financial manager of Denny Mushrooms. He also had a short stint in housewares before he moved over to Teljoy. So let us say hi this morning to Jonathan and find out all about what they're doing and how they're doing things differently. I mean, this is what I love, is to hear from people who are not just doing the obvious stuff. So, Jonathan, nice to see you. How are you?
All good, thank you. And you?
Good. It's good to have you here. And thank you for waking up so early to come and be with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. So, Teljoy, everybody in South Africa knows the name of the company. And how long have they been around? Since 69?
Yeah. We are 55 years this month, actually.
Okay. You're not, but the company.
Yeah.
I'm not. You look like 35.
slightly younger.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, this is a pretty amazing thing, because if you think back, for those people who've been alive that long, and for anyone who reads a little bit of history, in 1969 was when they landed men on the moon, right?
Correct.
I don't even know if we had TV in this country then.
No, we didn't. That was actually the catalyst. You know, our founder, Theo Rutstein, was listening to the moon landing on the radio.
Oh, really?
And he decided, well, if at that stage Rhodesia, Zimbabwe had TV,
yeah,
Teljoy can't resist it for much South Africa can't resist it for much longer.
Yeah.
So he put an ad in the paper without any products, nothing. I've actually got it hanging in my office.
Yeah.
And within a few weeks, we had thousands upon thousands of people who were prepared to fill in a little form on the bottom of an advert, and went and raised money between 69 and 75 to bring in the product. And we installed the first private television in 1974 in December.
That's amazing. Wow. I mean, that's real history, right?
Yeah.
I love the fact that we have brands in this country that have been around for so long that they've got these stories.
Mm.
And Teljoy is obviously one of them. But things have changed. And part of what that change is dealing with what's going on in the economy. People are a little bit, you know, hard-pressed, as I said earlier, to find ways to make their rand stretch a bit further. They're not going to say no to the stuff that they need and want. But you guys are actually making it possible for people to own and rent things a little more thoughtfully, a little differently to the way that they've done it before.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Tell me where this idea came from, and then explain the idea so that people who don't know can understand.
So I think initially, you know, there's been a few iterations over many years.
Yeah.
Initially, TV was the third most expensive thing in your house. It was your house, your car, your TV. So
right.
It was unaffordable to go buy for cash. So the rental model worked. At one stage, we were one of the biggest rental companies in the world. South Africans needed it. And between that time, 69-75, the government wouldn't allow TV to come in because they thought it was propaganda. And
the old regime.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we started just a straight rental business. Now, in those days, the sort of obsolescence of technical products like this wasn't so aggressive as it is now.
Exactly.
So the standard rental model, just guys would be, we've actually still got people on our base now who started with us in 75. And we realized with the increase of credit that people wanted ownership. So we developed, and in fact, we've trademarked rent to own. You'll see it all over the show, because that ownership is so important to South Africans. South Africans are brought up, you must own everything. Funny enough, the world is moving into a subscription economy. You know, none of us have bought music or content or TVs in many, many, many years. So, you know, the advent of the rent to own, early 2000s, we started that, and we saw a resurgence in the business, because at one stage we were unsure whether we wanted to continue this. We saw a resurgence in our model because of the ownership, and as a consequence, we've been able to bring in new product. People need a lot of stuff.
Just by the way, we're not just talking about TVs, right?
No,
I mean,
not.
South Africans want lots of different things, and some of those things you also don't need to own. But do you think the South African consumer actually understands credit?
No. So I don't. I think for the most part, people assume that you're buying it on your credit card. You're gonna take it home. You own it. You still owe the bank or whoever is giving you credit some money. You don't understand, because it falls into this mess of credit that you owe. You don't really understand the interest components of that. And we've become we've normalized credit, and people just are used to it. And I mean, household debt and the consumer spending is just through the roof.
No,
so it's
crazy.
A little bit upside down. You know, the cost of living has gone absolutely crazy. Mm. So I don't think people understand. Our model is quite transparent in the sense that, you know, it's whatever it is, $2.99 over a period of time. It's got absolute flexibility. You can cancel, upgrade, or downgrade at any time, which is something that credit doesn't allow you to do. If you're going to buy a TV, as an example, on credit, and you want to get out of that, you have to sell it. You have to go get your settlement amount and then pay it down. Ours is a phone call. We come, collect, shake hands, and we move on. So it really is, you know, as we speak about, we speak a lot about software as a service and accessibility, and you know, Netflix and Spotify, you can cancel with a month's notice. Same as us. So we are trying to sort of normalize the idea of appliances and household goods as a service, as opposed, so it's access over ownership, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And for most South Africans, they just want the use of the thing. I mean, it's starting to make more sense that you don't have to own the stuff. Now, what about insurance for these items? Because obviously for you guys, that must be a concern too.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving someone the equipment, they're using it, they're paying you, but that doesn't mean they're looking after it. So is it insured? Because we know what people are like.
More often than not, it means they're definitely not looking after it.
You'll actually be surprised. That's where the nuance of rent to own is so important, because people believe in equity in their products. So they actually do look after it. It's a full maintenance lease. We cover everything from TV license, insurance, delivery, installation, and maintenance as part of an extended warranty.
Okay.
So we cover absolutely everything. And South Africans are quite proud people, and they do look after stuff. We do have a couple of...
That's good news, right, Jack? We didn't expect that.
Yeah. Very good news.
Okay, great.
It sounded like there was potential for a lot of abuse, but thank you for disavowing us.
I know you came here to tell us a little bit about the history of Telljoy and about this this rent-to-own thing, but I think the best thing I've learned is that South Africans actually look after stuff. Good.
I do.
Yeah, it's great.
Tell me quickly, what are the other kinds of products that you help people with? Because it's not just TVs. TVs are obviously a big part of that. And you could drive through rich neighborhoods and poor neighborhoods, and you see people have a satellite dish up. And TV is a big part of our lives in this country, right?
Absolutely. So we obviously earned our stripes in TV. We realized once we were in the home, people needed fridges, freezers, microwaves, dishwashers, washing machines, tumble dryers, beds, you know, just to mention, all of our products are all brand new. We never rent out secondhand or used items unless it's requested by the customer. But we do everything. We've got some gym equipment. We've got I've got
a
wife and three daughters. We got a Dyson hair straightener in my house that is
those
used.
Things, you would prefer to rent to own those things, right? Because Jeremy says here, look at this in the comments. My first color TV was rented via Telljoy. It was a 54-centimeter Telefunken. Changed to Gold Star after that. Was a big deal then. Very expensive too.
Oh, man.
That's cool, right?
I feel so nostalgic right now. The last time I heard Telefunken, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you have been part of people's lives for a long time. This is what's so cool. But to go back to the hair straightener, I mean, these are important things for girls, right? They got to have them.
Well, absolutely. I think it's important for them, and it saves me a fortune because I don't have to send them to the salon all the time. So,
and if something goes wrong, you guys come and collect it, bring a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll repair it, we'll bring a new one. Yeah.
I don't know how anyone who's buying things like that doesn't think that this is a more attractive option.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, man. And you, so you actually do this, so you live this promise yourself.
Absolutely.
See, no, that's cool. Because a lot of CEOs, they say, this is what you must do, but then they do something different. I like the fact that you actually do this. And this is a good question from Carl. He says, what stops someone from filling a truck with Telljoy stuff, paying the first month, and then leaving? I mean, what stops people from doing that?
So, you know, nothing. We've got, I wouldn't say it's a rigorous vetting process. We're not a credit provider. So you're not going to find you're not going to find the typical, you know, DNA sample, 3 months bank statements, balance sheets, and all of that in order to get access to our product. You know, invariably, we trust that South Africans are honest. We've got a vetting process that we go through that is underpinned by your credit history elsewhere.
Right.
We take a view on certain customers, and there's nothing stopping anybody from.
Well, just
that.
If someone called Carl DeSantis, tries yeah. to rent okay, from
he's on the blacklist so already.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
Just put him on the blacklist. So, lovely lady Lee says this couldn't have come at a better time for my household. We're in the market for a big ass TV. So you do have big ass TVs for lovely lady
TVs. 100%.
Okay.
I love the emphasis on big ass.
Yeah, I like that. How big is it indeed? Okay, so a couple of things quickly. So you're focused on four elements that add value for South Africans. What are those before you go?
So we spoke about it, accessibility. We want all South Africans to be able to have access to all those products that are important to them. Flexibility is important. There's no more important time than now for South Africans to feel like they aren't drowning in day-to-day. The ownership element is important. Right. I think that is the most critical. And then lastly, we've got the affordability. You know, we try always make sure that we are reasonably inexpensive relative to the market. It's very hard to compete with, you know, 10,000 TV against a $299 a month TV, you know. So we are priced very effectively. We do have a business to run. You know, we've got lots of value adds embedded in our model, which is again the reason why people don't necessarily always understand it. So we've got to do a better job at communicating those value adds, because
well,
I do
part
think
of what you're doing here.
Absolutely, 100%.
So listen, Jonathan, this is great. Carl just wants to reclaim some of his credibility. He says, we had to get 5 laptops for a project, but we didn't need them afterwards, so we got them from Telljoy. Fantastic option. So he might not be on that list of bad people after all. And he does seem to have returned them at some point.
No,
so
no,
that's exactly. Good news.
He must go through a rigorous vetting process, that one.
But I mean, 100%. that's an interesting idea. Laptops as well, right?
Yeah, we do
wow.
laptops, yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people, there might be something which they need a couple of these for, and then they don't need them afterwards, so you guys could give them to them for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come and rent them. That's sure. fantastic. But you could rent to own. What are the periods for this? 24 yeah. months, 36 months? Chilbrew wants
well,
to know.
Well, effectively, those terms are really just to get ownership, but it's really month to month. So
okay.
typically, we'll do a 24 and 36 months, but that period is only there. So that's the minimum period you need to get ownership. But really, it is month to month.
Richard wants to know, it would be great if you could add rent a spouse. Ooh. Defective models could be cancelled.
Yes.
Any ideas into that market?
Sure, I think we've got to speak to his wife and just let him know.
Yeah, I don't think Richard's married. Yeah, okay. With that attitude, no, there's no way any woman's going to put up with
can't
him.
Can't be. And if he is, oh, I pray for that poor woman.
Absolutely.
I pray for her.
Love it. Okay, well, this is great and good to know. And congrats on so many years of being an important part of South Africa's environment. The fact that this is a brand that people know and love,
yeah,
and that you're doing amazing and innovative things in the market, which we need. So thank you very much. Nice to see you, Jonathan.
Cool, thank
really
you.
Good to have you
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
That's Jonathan Hurwitz from Telljoy. And you can find out more. You can follow them on all of their social media handles. They are at Telljoy South Africa on Instagram and Threads, Telljoy Deals on Facebook, and Telljoy ZA on TikTok. They're on all of the places. Of course, you can go to their website. That's the best place to go, telljoy.co.za, and you can find out more over there.
Yes, sir.
But you heard it from the guy in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to mess around now. Go straight there and figure it out. Okay, we got lots of other good stuff headed your way, including Ramon popping in a little bit later on. And we got a couple of people here. Watch the YouTube algorithm advertise TVs to me now because I sent this comment in. Yes, Lady Lee, that's going to happen. But that's not Telljoy's fault.
Yeah, and I mean, you're in the market for a TV. So,
yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Don't complain when you now start getting ads. But at least you already know where to go.
Exactly. We just solved a rather big-ass problem for you. See what I did there?
With your big-ass TV.
Yes, sir.
Precisely.
Yes,
very, very good. And then I did see this. This is a little story from earlier, which we haven't got to yet. But apparently, you know that building that fell down in George that everyone was talking about? So apparently, they've placed the engineer who oversaw the construction of that building on precautionary suspension. Mm. 34 people died when a partially constructed five-story building caved in more than a month ago. 62 people were on site at the time of the collapse, many of whom were rescued alive in a 10-day rescue and recovery operation. But they've managed to find the guy who was the engineer, and they have put him on suspension. They're going to be investigating him. So that's good. At least there's a little accountability going on.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I hope they get to the bottom of what happened exactly. If it was a structural issue or if it was doomed from the beginning. Mm. And all of the people that are responsible for it should get their comeuppance. It's really simple.
I'm glad
they're in the right direction, though, at least.
Absolutely.
It is encouraging.
Okay, and then a couple of other things that I saw this morning that I thought would entertain and amuse you. I don't know how much time we're going to have for this after 7 because we've got Ramon popping in. But I did see – this is a fascinating video. Do you know how strong the human tooth is?
No, not really.
Okay, so you know I'm obsessed with these pneumatic presses – that destroy things. They put things in these presses and like just break them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did this with a tooth. You cannot believe how much pressure the human tooth can take. Obviously, there's a tooth outside of someone's mouth.
Yeah.
But they put it in this pneumatic press. Just take a look at this quickly and see how many kilograms of pressure a human tooth can take. This is just enamel. It's amazing. You have really, really tough stuff in your mouth. Take a look at this. I mean, this sets my teeth on edge, but you could see.
Oi.
Yeah, 130. Check. Check. It's still good. Check.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. How's that?
Jeez.
Pretty wild, huh?
That is pretty wild.
Take a look. That is incredible. I mean,
north of 285
kilograms of pressure. And the guy even goes, this is really intense. But not like, wow, that is really intense that we had the other day in that video, which was irritating. But I thought that would be something to think about. All right. Plenty more to come. Ramon is going to be joining us just after 7, and we're going to talk about his trip to Russia. We're going to take your comments. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all the other stuff. Back in a minute.